Blog Talk Radio.
Said to you that we feel that we must come together as people to make things happen. Don't forget, I'm concerned about your children, your family. I'm concerned about you being blessed. I'm concerned about those open up for you. Yes, I want you to know that we can change what's going on in Chicago, Detroit, California, what's going on over the world. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that. And I'm glad I just want to come to you and let you know that I'm concerned about your family problem. What's going on in your life. I'm concerned about you. If you'll call me and I call you, we begin to communicate with tools. Wherever you might be, with God, all things are possible. Don't forget, give me a call. Don't forget, I will pray with you and for you. And whatever you need, God can grant you your need. And I want you to know, we must begin to network and work together to make things happen for your home, my home, your village, your business. I want to let you know your business about to flow. I'm going to tell you that the things that are going on can work out for you right now. I'm glad to come to you. I want to say this to you today, wherever I live, all is well. And I want to say it again, all is well for you, the new job, and the things that you're trying to do. I'm trying to let you know that God got your back. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, if you're trying to retire or you're trying to get a new job or just trying to work on your health, I want to be with you every step of the way. Your miracle is on its way. Your blessing is on its way. I want to take this time to say your blessing is a moment away. I want to take this time to say that you can get what you want. You can have what you want. I want to say that to you, and I want you to know, evening, night, day, east, west, north, and south, I'm going to pray for you. It don't get too dark. It don't get too rainy. It don't too much snow. Winter, I'm going to pray that your blessing come through. Let me say it again. I'm going to pray that your blessing come through right now. I want you to go knowing, sowing, and flowing in the right direction. Direction that you can be successful. In the $1 trillion flow, you can be a part of the $1 million club right here on Blog Talk Radio, where I'm on 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm on now. You can get me Mondays at 10 to 11. We're talking about Martin Luther King movement. Tuesdays, crossing over with our ancestors. We're talking about things that have lost, you have found, and subject that will be coming up. And then and on Wednesday, we go deep in the Bible. We talk about Bible class. We talk about the 66 books of the Bible, and we want you to go knowing and sowing with them. And on Thursday, we talk about metaphysics of the Bible, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And Friday, payday, $1 trillion flow.
more money. We talk about the issues of the world, the money issues, the mental issues, what's going on all over the world. We talked about that. I want to thank Brother Calvin, my engineer. I want to thank all the ministers that have been working with us, going to back. Well, don't forget, it's very important, Sunday morning from 11 to 12, I'm preaching the word of God. I'm prophesying the word of God. I'm talking about right now your blessing, your miracle, your healing. And every Sunday morning from 11 to 12, you ought to be there in the internet with me. Get a cup of coffee, get some tea, and sit back. Tell your husband, tell your wife, and we're going to listen to Bishop Sunday morning from 11 to 12. And I want you to know all is well. This is your bishop. I'm your computer bishop. You can download me. You can get me 24/7. And then you can see me on live screen. I'm screaming. And then after that, you can go to YouTube. We're talking about crossing over the ancestors. We're talking about things, losing planes. And we're talking about some of the storms, the floods, the snow. We're talking about all of that on YouTube. Now, I just want you to call a friend, call a neighbor, to listen to Bishop. Call somebody to Bishop. And I might have a word for you this morning. This evening, God might give me, sometimes God calls your name. When God calls your name, I tell you what's going on. So he calls your name. When he calls your name, I speak, he give me your address. Sometimes he give me the city that you're in. Sometimes he give me what's going to happen to you. I do divine prophecy, and divine come from God. Now, and as I give messages right now, even in this promo, I'm seeing somebody being healed in their side, and I want to speak to that healing in your side. I want to speak to somebody.
In this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You gotta tell it for yourself.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house.
Yes.
And to be joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill.
Yes.
Out of your mess and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now that God is uplifting us in the spite of the storms and the flood.
Yes. Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he's over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and picked you up where you can't get up.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor said you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I control the universe.
Yes.
And if God controls the universe today, and I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill.
Mm-hmm.
The deeper you go to these rock layers, the more prominent Homo sapiens are, other parts of them. Let us take a moment to appreciate the incredible diversity found in Africa's archaeological wonders. Fossil-rich remnants of the Great Rift Valley to the breathtaking rock art of the Sahara, each discovery paints a vivid picture of our shared heritage. These remnants of the past tell tales of human triumph, innovation, and adaption, reminding us of the rich tapestry of cultures and civilizations that have thrived on this remarkable continent. Here we set our sights on the land of the pharaohs, the pyramids, the enigmatic hieroglyphs, ancient Egypt, the pre-dynastic Egypt. Into the African soil. Through the intricate trade network and cultural exchange, the influence of Africa can be seen in the art, customs, and even the deities worshipped by the pharaohs. Firstly, we have the extraordinary findings from the Great Rift Valley, a region that stretches across East Africa. Here in places like Ethiopia and Kenya, scientists have unearthed ancient fossils of our prominent ancestors dating back millions of years. These remarkable discoveries include the famous Lucy, an Australopithecus afarensis skeleton that offers a glimpse into our early evolution. But it doesn't stop there. Further excavation in the region have unearthed fossils belonging to our direct ancestors, Homo sapiens, dating back to 300,000 years ago. Yes, heard that right. 300,000 years ago, Africa boasts the oldest known remains of our species, providing concrete evidence that our journey as Homo sapiens began on this very continent. The story of humans begins here. Amidst the breathtaking landscapes and ancient savannas, this diverse, vibrant continent. Africa not only holds the oldest fossils of our species, but also carries the genetic imprints of our shared heritage, standing and appreciating Africa's pivotal role in our human story. We embrace the knowledge that we are all connected by our origins in this incredible continent.
Don't buy another pair of glasses until you've seen what this new invention can do. These self-adjustable glasses
Fusi is a superstar of paleoanthropology. Let me share with you why the discovery of this 3.2 million-year-old fossil skeleton, a monumental breakthrough, what it meant for our understanding of human evolution. In 1974, a team of researchers led by the renowned paleoanthropologist Dr. Jonald Johanson made a groundbreaking find in the Afar region of Hadar, Ethiopia. They unearthed an almost complete fossil skeleton belonging to an early human ancestor of our species. They affectionately named Lucy after the Beatles song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Why was Lucy's discovery so important? Well, it's a game changer for several reasons. Firstly, Lucy belonged to the species Australopithecus afarensis, which provided crucial insights into the early stages of human evolution. She walked upright like modern humans, but also possessed ape-like features, making her a transitional form between primate ancestors and ourselves. Lucy's skeleton was remarkably well-preserved, comprising numerous bones, including pelvis, limbs, and skull fragments. This level of completeness allowed scientists to reconstruct her anatomy for understanding of her function, overall physiology. By studying Lucy's bones, researchers were able to deduce bipedalism, or walking on 2 feet, which is a crucial milestone in our evolutionary journey. Lucy's discovery also provided compelling evidence for the African origins of humanity. Her age, 3.2 million years old, firmly placing her within the timeline of early human evolution. Africa, with its diverse ecosystems and geological features, offered the ideal conditions ancestors to adapt and thrive. Lucy's existence challenges previous notions that the evolution of Homo sapiens follows a linear progression. Instead, her discovery highlights the complex and branching nature of our family tree, with multiple species coexisting and evolving alongside each other for millions of years. In essence, Lucy's discovery was a transformative moment in paleoanthropology. It provides tangible evidence of our ancient past, showcasing our ancestors' ability and paving the way for further discoveries and insights into the evolutionary journey that eventually led to us, Homo sapiens, oldest known religion in Ethiopia. The traditional belief system called either Ethiopian traditional religion or Ethiopian religious practice predates the arrival of Christianity and Islam by thousands of years. It encompasses a wide range of spiritual beliefs and practices that have been passed down through generations and are deeply rooted in Ethiopian culture and heritage. The same place where Lucy was found, Ethiopia, religion is characterized by its strong connection to nature, ancestral worship, and the belief in supernatural forces and spirits. It incorporates elements of animism for various aspects of the natural world, such as rivers, mountains, trees are considered to possess spiritual essence and are revered accordingly. Being religion involves rituals, ceremonies, and offerings to appease and seek blessings from the ancestral spirits and deities. These rituals often take place in sacred sites such as forests, groves, mountains, or ancient stone structures known as mazgabas. It is important to note that the Ethiopian religion is not a homogeneous belief system, but rather a collection of diverse regional traditions and practices. Different ethnic groups within Ethiopia have their own unique variations of its indigenous faith, often incorporating local customs, beliefs, and cultural elements. With the spread of Christianity and Islam in Ethiopia, Ethiopian religion has experienced a decline in adherence, particularly in urban areas. However, still holds significance and remains practiced by a considerable number of people, particularly in rural communities. The Aksumite religion, also known as Aksumite polytheism, refers to the religious practices and beliefs of the Aksumite Empire, the ancient kingdom located in present-day Ethiopia. Aksumite civilization flourished from 2nd century BCE to the 7th century of the Common Era, played a significant role in the region's history and culture. This kingdom was known to have adopted the religious customs of its ancestors that predates empire. So the religion predates the kingdom by many centuries, probably evolved from the Bronze Age to antiquity. It is generally understood that the Aksumite religion was a polytheistic belief system with a pantheon of deities worshipped by the Mahrem, also known as Astar, was considered the supreme god and the protector of the Aksumite kingdom. Mahrem was associated with the sky, rain, and fertility, and the stars in the sky at night. The Aksumite kings, who held significant religious and political authority, were believed to be direct descendants of Mahrem, solidifying their divine status and legitimacy.
In countries around the world, people don't have free speech. They can be harassed, jailed, and punished for expressing their honest opinion. That's why for more than 20 years, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, or FIRE, has been fighting to...
The Aksumite pantheon included other gods and goddesses, such as Astar, Bahir, Medir, and Waraka. Each deity had specific domains and worship for themselves for various purposes, including fertility, protection, agriculture, prosperity. The Aksumites practiced ancestor worship as well, believing the deceased ancestors played a role in the spiritual well-being and guidance of the living. They would honor and venerate their ancestors through rituals and offerings, seeking their blessings and assistance. Aksumite religion was closely intertwined with the political and cultural aspects of the empire. Temples and religious structures, such as the famous Stele of Aksum, were erected to honor the gods and commemorate ritual ceremonies and sacrifices, were held to celebrate important events, agricultural cycles, and religious observances, such as the summer solstice or winter solstices, or spring and fall equinoxes. The original Aksumite religion, as a distinct and separate faith, ceases to exist as Christianity took root in the region. And by the 7th and 8th centuries, Islam would end up taking control of all facets of culture, which continues today. The religion of pre-dynastic Sudan, known as ancient Nubia, is often referred to as the Nubian religion. Specific details about this Nubian religion are not extensively documented. Archaeological evidence and historical accounts provide some insights into the practices and beliefs. The Nubian religion shared several similarities with the ancient Egyptian religion, and there are significant cultural and religious exchange between the two regions throughout their history. Nubian deities, such as Dedun, the lion-headed god, associated with wealth and prosperity, and the lioness goddess of Nubia, had counterparts in the ancient Egyptian pantheon. Egyptian deities, like Amun, were also worshipped in Nubia. This exchange of gods and goddesses suggests a merging or borrowing of religious ideas and practices. Iconography and symbols, such as the Nubian religious art symbols, often displayed similar motifs to those found in ancient Egyptian art. Animal imagery, such as lions, bulls, and snakes, were significant in both of these religious cultures. The use of sacred symbols like the Ankh, which stands for eternal life, was shared between Nubians and Egyptians. Nubian burial practices, particularly in the Kerma culture, featured pyramids and tumuli, similar to the Egyptian pyramids and tombs. The belief in an afterlife and the provision of grave goods for the deceased were common in both cultures, indicating a shared concept of the importance of the afterlife. The close proximity and long history of interaction between Nubia and Egypt resulted in cultural exchange and political influence. As Egypt expanded its role into Nubia, Egyptian religious practices and beliefs spread into the region, integrating with existing Nubian religious traditions. And vice versa, Nubian religious traditions impacted the growing Egyptian religion. The Nubian rulers, especially during the period of the Kingdom of Kush, adopted religious titles from the Egyptians, and vice versa, further blending the religious practices of the two civilizations. The extent and depth of these influences can vary depending on the historical period and the specific Nubian-Egyptian cultures involved. Overall, religious practices and beliefs of pre-dynastic Sudan, specifically ancient Nubia, contributes to the religious landscape of the entire region. The Nubian-Egyptian religious connection highlights the interconnectedness of these ancient civilizations and the mutual influence they had on each other's religious and cultural development. Dedun is the ancient Nubian deity, played a significant role in the religious beliefs of the region. He is often depicted as a lion-headed god, associated with wealth, prosperity, and abundance. The worship of Dedun dates back to the early Nubian civilizations. The lion-headed representation of Dedun is reminiscent of the majestic and powerful qualities associated with lions. Symbolizing strength and protection, Dedun was revered as the bringer of light, and material possession, and agricultural fertility. He's also connected closely with the Nile River and the annual flooding, like Osiris was. The flooding of the Nile brought nutrient-rich sediments, enabling fertile soils and bountiful harvests. Dedun was believed to have the control over these waters and was regarded as the bestower of the river's life-giving properties and blessings of Dedun for their kingdom's prosperity and success. He was considered...
You have to bring outside the line.
A patron deity of the rulers, protecting their wealth and ensuring prosperity of the realm. Dedun's importance is reflected in various inscriptions and monuments dedicated to him by the Nubian kings, particularly during the kingdom of Kush's zenith. The influence of Dedun extended beyond Nubia, as his worship is also spread into Egypt. Dedun was associated with Nubia and revered alongside Egyptian deities, but he was also equated with the Egyptian god Osiris, further highlighting the interconnectedness of these two regions. Although Dedun's prominence waned with the decline of the kingdom of Kush and the advent of Christianity and Islam, his legacy be glimpsed in the archaeological remains and inscriptions left behind. The lion-headed god remains an intriguing figure, representing the Nubian people's deep connection to the natural world, their aspirations for wealth and abundance, and their reverence for the life-giving properties of the Nile. Through the worship of Dedun, the Nubian people sought to cultivate prosperity and ensure the well-being of their communities, emphasizing the significance of material wealth and agricultural fertility in their religious worldview. Today, the dune stands as a testament to the rich and diverse religious traditions that once thrived in ancient Nubia, offering a glimpse into the spiritual beliefs of this fascinating civilization. Is indeed a prominent goddess in ancient Egyptian mythology, known as the lioness-headed goddess of war, healing, and protection. The connection between the Nubian lion-headed goddess and the Sekhmet goddess lies in the cultural and religious interactions between Nubia and Egypt. Nubia and Egypt had a long history of contact and exchange, which including the sharing of beliefs. Sekhmet embodied these qualities and was often depicted wearing a lioness headdress. She was believed to possess the ferocity and healing aspects associated with lions. Ancient religion of Kemet, also known as the ancient Egyptian religion, was practiced in the region of Egypt and Africa, a belief system that evolved over thousands of years. The religion was polytheistic, meaning it worshipped multiple gods and goddesses. And the ancient Egyptians believed in the existence of a divine hierarchy, with the pharaoh being considered a god on earth. They believed that the gods controlled every aspect of life, from natural forces to human destiny. Some of the most important gods and goddesses in the Kemet religion included Ra, the sun god, Osiris, the god of the afterlife, and Isis, the goddess of magic and fertility. There's also Horus, the divine child. Ancient Egyptians believed in a concept of an afterlife, where the soul would continue to exist after death. They believed that the deceased would undergo a judgment process, where the heart would be weighed against the feather of Mat, the goddess of truth and justice. If the heart was lighter than the feather, they would be granted eternal life in the afterlife. The Kemet religion also involved elaborate rituals and ceremonies, including the construction of temples and tombs. Temples and tombs were dedicated to specific gods and were considered the dwelling places of the gods on earth. The tombs would also ensure safe passage of the deceased into the afterlife. Significant role in the daily lives of ancient Egyptians, including their art, architecture, and political structure. It was a central part of their identity and provided them with a sense of purpose and order in the world. In fact, the word Kemet is the original name for Egypt itself, and Egypt is a name given by the Greeks. Kemet religion was deeply ingrained in the culture and society of ancient Egypt. The beliefs and practices of Kemet shaped the way for the Egyptians and how they viewed the world. The ancient Egyptians built magnificent temples and tombs to honor their gods and ensure a prosperous afterlife. Overall, the influence of Kemet religion on Egyptian society was immense. An area known to archaeologists as Wadi Halfa in modern-day Sudan, which used to be called Upper, has some of the oldest known structures in the world, discovered in Egypt by the archaeologist Waldemar Chmielski along the southern border of Wadi Halfa, Sudan. The structures found here are dated to 100,000 BCE. The remains of the structures are oval depressions, about 30 centimeters deep, 2 by 1 meters across. Many are lined with flat sandstone slabs, which serve as tent rings, supporting dome-like shelter, skins, or brush. This type of dwelling provided a place to live. If necessary, could be taken down easily, moved. They were mobile structures, easily disassembled and reassembled, providing hunter-gatherers with semi-permanent habitation.
As we crossed over, that was still just how, that was our ancestors. Business crossing over our ancestors is telling you how we control the whole world.
all lives flow from Africa. Yes, it's important for you to know where you come from. It's important to know that you are the ruler of the world. And people have stolen it. God is restoring it back to us.
The oldest religious belief system in this region is called the Dinka religion. The Dinka religion is an indigenous belief system practiced by the Dinka people of South Sudan, which became a part of what was later known. These are the southern realms of the Egyptian dynasty. It is a traditional African religion that has been passed down through generations and is deeply rooted in the cultural and spiritual traditions of the Dinka community. The Dinka religion belongs to the African traditional religions. Dinka, like the other African traditional religions, is characterized by a strong connection to nature. Ancestral veneration revolves around the worship of a supreme deity, Bielik, which translates to God, who is believed to be the creator and sustainer of the universe. Ancestors also hold a significant place in the Dinka pantheon, with rituals and offerings conducted to honor and seek the guidance of the ancestors. The Egyptian religion also deifies the pharaohs and venerates ancestors in their tombs in the same way the Dinka people tend to do the burial sites. The concept of Maat in Egypt is comparable to the Dinka belief in cosmic order. The religion of pre-dynastic Egypt refers to religious beliefs and practices of the ancient Egyptians before the establishment of centralized dynastic rule, which began around 3100 BCE. Pre-dynastic Egypt spanned a long period of time. The religious practices evolved and developed over centuries. The religion of pre-dynastic Egypt is characterized by animism, a belief in the presence of spirits or deities and natural elements of objects. The ancient Egyptians perceived the world as populated by a multitude of supernatural entities that controlled various aspects of life. During this period, animal worship played a significant role in religious practices. Animals, such as crocodiles, hippos, snakes, and bulls, were considered sacred and often associated with specific deities. The Egyptians believed that these animals possessed divine qualities and acted as intermediaries between the human and divine realms. The worship of ancestors and spirits of the deceased was also prevalent during the pre-dynastic period. Ancestral spirits were believed to have influence and could intercede on behalf of the living. So in turn, rituals and offerings were made to honor and appease these spirits, seeking their protection and guidance. Cosmological beliefs were an integral part of the pre-dynastic Egyptian religion. Sky deities such as Horus and Nut represented the heavens, while earth and fertility deities like Geb and Hathor were associated with the land's abundance. The worship of natural phenomena such as the sun and the Nile River and other natural elements played a crucial role in pre-dynastic Egyptian religion. The sun, personified as the god Ra or Atum, was highly revered as the source of life and vitality. The Nile River, known as Hapi, was seen as the lifeblood of Egypt, providing fertility and sustenance to the land. As pre-dynastic Egypt transitioned into the dynastic period, these religious beliefs and practices continued to evolve, become more complex. These deities became more anthropomorphic, with human-like characteristics and intricate mythological narratives surrounding their roles and interactions. In Egyptian religion and philosophy, Maat is a fundamental concept that encompasses the ideas of order, balance, harmony, justice, and truth. It was both a cosmic and ethical concept that that guided the beliefs and behaviors of the ancient Egyptians. Maat was personified as a goddess, often depicted as a woman with an ostrich feather on her head, symbolizing truth and balance. She was considered a daughter of the sun, Ra, and played a central role in the divine order of the universe. The concept of Maat was integral to the Egyptian cosmology and the functioning of society. It was believed that Maat provided the foundation for the existence of the world, ensuring its stability and continuation. The gods themselves were seen as upholders of Maat, and their actions were expected to be in alignment with this cosmic principle. On the earthly realm, Maat served as a moral and ethical guide for human behavior. It emphasized the importance of maintaining balance, justice, and truth in all aspects of life. Ancient Egyptians believed that living in accordance with Maat was essential for personal happiness, societal harmony, and the overall well-being of the kingdom. Maat was often associated with the rule of Pharaoh, who was considered the intermediary, ensuring the just governance of the kingdom and well-being of its people. The ancient Egyptian courts were responsible for upholding justice, maintaining Maat in society. The weighing of the heart ceremony, depicted in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, dating back to the Copper Age, 2000 BCE, symbolizes the judgment of the deceased's action in the afterlife, determining whether they live in accordance with Maat. Later on, and even in modern times, the concept of Maktub in Islam can be understood as destiny in the cosmic order, which was possibly influenced the concept of...
Why should you move back to Indiana?
The unique thing about New Albany and Southern Indiana is it's small town living where it's big city feel. So we're able to have access to a lot of different things, a lot of different cultures, and a lot of opportunities that exist. And we just enjoy small town living. My name is Chris Miles, and I'm home again in Indiana.
At Lovesac, we design furniture for life. Real life. Messy life. Life that changes and brings us together for movie night. A life where styles evolve, and it's fun to try something.
Maat. Islam, however, is not even close to being the first monotheistic religion to touch Africa. Egyptian Aatonism, also known as the Amarna Revolution, or the worship of the Aten, refers to a monotheistic religious movement that emerged during the reign of Pharaoh Akhenaten during the 14th century BCE. It marked a significant departure from the traditional polytheistic beliefs and religious practices of ancient Egypt. Akhenaten ruled from approximately 1353 to 1336 BCE. Initiated the Aatonist movement. The Aten was a solar deity representing the sun's disk with rays extending down to touch and nurture life on earth, declaring it the sole god worthy of worship, and changed his own name to Akhenaten, meaning effective for the Aten. The reasons for the emergence of Atenism are complex and not entirely clear. Some scholars believe that Akhenaten's religious reform was influenced by personal beliefs, political motivations, or a desire to consolidate power. Akhenaten's reign saw significant political and religious changes, including a shift in the capital city, Thebes, to a newly constructed city called Akhenaten, modern-day Amarna. Besides the worship of Aten, as a singular, all-encompassing deity, and advocated for the idea of a universal and benevolent God who created and sustained all life. Akhenaten sought to eradicate the worship of all the ancient deities and close the temples dedicated to them,
centralizing religious worship around the Ankh. His ideas failed. After his death, nobody wanted to continue the tradition. The art and iconography during the Ankhmis period depicted the Ankh as a radiant sun disk with rays extending downward, terminating in hands that offered symbols of life and the Ankh. The art reflected a new artistic style characterized by naturalistic and intimate representations of the royal family, deviating from the more idealized and formalized artistic conventions of previous periods. Nizam's influence was short-lived. As I mentioned, after his death, his son, Tutankhamun, reversed the religious reforms, restoring traditional polytheistic worship of multiple deities. The religious practices and artistic styles of the Ankhmis period were largely erased. References to Ankh and Aten and Ankhmis were deliberately suppressed during the succeeding dynasties. Phoenician voyagers of the early Iron Age after the Bronze Age collapse would come to leave an impact on the religion in North Africa. The oldest religion of ancient Carthage were centered around the worship of a pantheon of deities with the primary focus on Baal Haman, also known as Baal or Melkart, and his consort Tanit. This religious tradition is often referred to as the Punic religion, named after the Punic people who inhabited Carthage and its surrounding territories. The Punic religion of Carthage had its roots in the Phoenician religious practices, as Carthage was founded by Phoenician colonists in the city of Tyre in the 9th century BCE. Over time, Carthaginians linked religious beliefs and rituals, influenced by their own cultural context and interactions with other Mediterranean civilizations. Baal Hamon was considered the chief deity of Carthaginian pantheon and represented the power of the sun, fertility, and agricultural abundance. He was often depicted as a bearded figure with a crown or horn headdress, sitting on a throne and holding symbols of power. Baal Hamon was associated with life, growth, and prosperity, and his worship played a central role in the religious and social life of the Carthaginian people. Tanit, the consort of Baal, was a goddess associated with fertility, motherhood, and the protection of women. She was often depicted as a seated figure holding the symbol of life and surrounded by the symbols of fertility and abundance. Other deities worshipped by the Carthaginians included Melkart, a variant of Heracles and Eshmun, a healing god, and Dagon, a god associated with grain and agriculture. Each deity had its own specific attributes and domains, and the Carthaginians would invoke and offer sacrifices to these deities for various purposes, including protection, fertility, and prosperity. The Carthaginian religious practices included rituals, ceremonies, and sacrifices conducted at temples and sanctuaries. Animal sacrifices, including bulls and sheep and goats, were common, and these offerings were believed to establish a connection between the human and divine realms. Said, much of the Carthaginian religious practices, including their religious texts and records, were lost or destroyed. Romans further contributed to the decline and suppression of Carthaginian religious traditions. As a result, our knowledge of the oldest religion of ancient Carthage is incomplete and subject to ongoing scholarly debate. If we move deeper into West Africa,
we know patients are more than their disease. That's why at Novo Nordisk, we've spent 100 years developing treatments to help unlock humanity. Not held back by
okay, guys, I'm going to show you how I got this awesome high-tech smartwatch for free. I'm not even...
Away from Carthage, we do have some sources by the ancients on the word who inhabited this region. Herodotus, the ancient Greek historian, often referred to as the father of history, mentioned a group of people called the Atlantes in his writings. According to Herodotus, the Atlantes were a Libyan tribe living in the western part of North Africa. Herodotus describes the Atlantes as a people who live near the Atlas Mountains, which are located in present-day Morocco and Algeria. He mentions that they were skilled warriors known for their use of chariots and were considered to be a powerful and warlike tribe. Herodotus wrote during the 5th century BC, several centuries after the time he claims to be reporting on. Works often blend historical facts with mythological and legendary elements. Now, if we travel more southward from here, we come to the Yoruba people, ancient Nigeria. The Yoruba people are a West African ethnic group who mainly inhabit parts of Nigeria, Benin, and Togo. The religion of these people appears to be much like Greco-Roman paganism, but much older, with a fascinating pantheon of deities who are responsible for different roles. For example, Eshu, also known as Elegba, or Eshu, is a prominent deity in the Esesi or Orisha religion of the Yoruba people, who primarily reside in West Africa. He is considered a complex and multifaceted divinity, often described as a trickster, a messenger, a mediator between humans and other Orishas, as well as between humans and Olodumare, the supreme being. Eshu is believed to be the primordial deity who emerged, like Thanes does in Hesiod's Theogony, the realm of the divine. He is often depicted as a young man wearing traditional Yoruba attire and carrying a staff or a cane. One of his distinct features is his association with crossroads, symbolizing the intersection of different paths and possibilities. Eshu is known for teaching people that there is always more than one truth, and there is always two sides to every argument. As a trickster, Eshu is known for his mischievous nature and unpredictable behavior. He challenges conventions, tests people's moral character, and disrupts order. To bring up Eshu's trickery is not inherently malicious, but serves as a means of teaching important lessons and encouraging individuals to make ethical choices. It is believed that Eshu carries prayers, sacrifices, and offerings from humans to the divine realm, just as Hermes and Thoth did in Greek and Egyptian religion. He acts as a bridge between the physical and spiritual realms, an angel, if you will, a messenger, with Mithras, facilitating communication and interaction between the two sides. In the Yoruba religious ceremonies and rituals, Eshu is often invoked at the beginning as a gate presence is necessary to open the channels of communication and ensure that offerings and prayers reach the intended recipients. Rituals dedicated to Eshu typically involve offerings of palm oil, kola nuts, and alcoholic beverages like wine, which are believed to appease him, like Bacchus. He's often translated by the Islamic critics as the devil or the evil being, but in truth, he is neither of these. He is best referred to as the trickster, a hand of misfortune to those that do not offer tribute or are deemed to be spiritual novices. He's also regarded as the divine messenger, prime negotiator between negative and positive forces, and the body and an enforcer of the law of being. He is said to assist in enhancing the power derived from herbal medicine and other forms of esoteric technology like alchemy. The Yoruba people believe that Eshu, Orishas, and divinities have been present since the beginning of time and continue to exist in the spiritual realm. Their existence is not limited by human conceptions of time, and they are timeless and transcend the temporal world. Orishas are considered to be intermediaries between a supreme being known as Oludamari or Oluron. They are seen as accessible and approachable deities to be invoked. According to Alex Kuochu, Oludamari, Oluron, is the supreme almighty god of the Yoruba people and not an Orisha by early missionaries to West Africa and the African diaspora as a distant but powerful god whose endeavors and dwellings are obscure. However, contrary to the missionaries of the diaspora's view, Oludamari is a powerful god that is always present in everything, even though he is above the Orishas and all people on earth. Need a reason to try Junior Eva Ultra? Accuracy, awareness, concentration, focus, memory, reasoning, mental alertness. Abatala is the Sky Father, the creator deity associated with wisdom, purity, and justice. He is often depicted as an old man and revered as the father of all the Orishas. Sango is the deity of thunder, lightning, and justice. He represents power, courage, and masculinity. Yamosha is the goddess of the sea, motherhood, and fertility. The cheetah is seen as the nurturing and protective figure associated with compassion and healing. Ogun is the deity of iron, war, and technology. He symbolizes strength, craftsmanship, and determination. Oya, the goddess of wind, storms, and change. She represents transformation, female power, and the spirit of the marketplace. Osun, or Arshun, is the deity of the rivers, love, fertility, and beauty. She is associated with femininity, sensuality, and abundance. These are just a few examples, as there are numerous Orishas recognized in the Yoruba religious practices. The worship of these Orishas involves various ceremonies, rituals, and offerings. These can include drums, prayers, dancing, divination, and revelry, and the presentation of specific foods and drinks and potions as offerings. Devotees seek the favor, guidance, and protection and blessing of the Orishas in these rites, and oftentimes have psychedelic experiences similar to the Eleusinian mysteries of Athens. It is important to note that the worship of these Orishas extends beyond Nigeria. It has been influencing all the areas that have adopted various parts of the African diaspora, particularly even in the Americas, after slavery brought these ideas over to the West. In these regions, the Yoruba religious practices merge with other cultural and spiritual traditions, giving rise to syncretic religions such as Santeria in Cuba and Voodoo in Haiti. These traditions, even including Eshu as the divine trickster, date back to before 1000 BCE, before the collapse of the Bronze Age, and they had a continuous tradition. Over time, the religious practices and the beliefs of the Yoruba people evolved and developed, incorporating influences from various sources, including other indigenous African traditions. While the transatlantic slave trade and forced migration of Africans to the Americas, Yoruba religious tradition and the worships of Orishas spread to various parts of the African diaspora, particularly Cuba, Brazil, and Haiti, and also Trinidad and Tobago, and other Caribbean and Latin American countries. The main practices that evolved from this trade is voodoo. The origins of voodoo, also known as Vodou, in Africa, be traced back for thousands of years. It emerged as a syncretic religion that developed through the blending of various indigenous African beliefs. With influences of Christianity and other external factors, voodoo has its roots in Western Africa, particularly in the regions that are now present-day Benin, Togo, and Nigeria. The voodoo doll commonly refers to an effigy that is typically used for the insertion of pins. Such practices are found in various forms of magical traditions of the ancient Africans. While the specific age of voodoo, as we know it today, historical and cultural roots extend deep into the ancient African traditions of magic that preceded it. Voodoo represents the resilient and vibrant spiritual tradition that embodies the ancestral wisdom and cultural heritage of African peoples. The spread of Islam across Africa was a gradual complex for several centuries. Islam was introduced to the African continent through various means of including trade networks, migration, and missionary activities, as well as warfare and forced conversion. The spread of Islam has had a profound impact on the socio-cultural, political, and religious landscape of all of Africa. The initial contact between Islam and Africa can trace back to the time of the Prophet Muhammad in the 7th century. Muslim traders from the Arabian Peninsula established trade routes that connected the Red Sea to the Indian Ocean with the East African coast. One of the earliest regions to embrace Islam was North Africa. Muslim armies from Arabia, known as the Arab Conquest, expanded into Egypt, Islam with them. The Umayyad Caliphate established control over North Africa, leading the conversion of local Berber tribes and the formation of Islamic states, such as the Fatimid Caliphate. Muslim merchants, such as the Berbers and later Saharan Arabs, established commercial networks that spanned from North Africa to the regions of present-day Mali. Islam gradually gained influence among the ruling elites and the emergence of powerful Islamic states, such as the Mali Empire and the Songhai Empire. Timbuktu became a cultural mecca of the world. The Swahili city-states became centers of Islamic culture and commerce, blending African and Arab influences. Islam spread further inland through intermarriage, trade, and the establishment of the Islamic educational centers. Islam became a vehicle for cultural exchange, bringing new architectural styles, educational institutions, trade networks. This led to the development of diverse Islamic movements, such as the Sufi Brotherhoods, which incorporated local customs and beliefs into their own spiritual practices. Before Islam spread all over the African continent, Christianity had its rise and reign of supreme. The Nag Hammadi Christians, also known as the Nag Hammadi Library or the Gnostic Gospels, refer to a collection of ancient texts discovered in 1945 near the ancient town of Nag Hammadi in Upper Egypt. These texts are significant for shedding a light on a branch of early Christianity known as Gnosticism. In December of 1945, a group of local farmers discovered a large jar containing a collection of ancient manuscripts buried in the desert near Nag Hammadi. These texts were written in common Egyptian language that used the Greek alphabet. The manuscripts were found to contain a diverse range of religious and philosophical texts, including Gnostic Christian writings previously unknown or lost to history. Gnostic teachings emphasize the acquisition of gnosis, or spiritual knowledge, as the means to achieve salvation and liberation from the material world. The Gnostics of Egypt believed that the material world was imperfect and the domain of a lesser deity known as the Demiurge. They saw themselves as spiritual beings trapped within physical bodies, seeking to reunite with the divine realm. The Nag Hammadi Library consisted of 52 texts, including various Gnostic Gospels, apocryphal works, and philosophical treatises, such as the Gospel of Thomas, a collection of sayings attributed to Jesus that may be the oldest known source of the words of Jesus on the planet, and it's found in Egypt. Overall, the Malakamadi Christians, through their writings, give a glimpse into the diverse religious landscape of early Christianity before Islam and contribute to our understanding of the rich tapestry of religious thought in the ancient world. Claim to have the Ark of the Covenant are members of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. According to their religious tradition, Ark of the Covenant, sacred chest, to hold the tablets of the Ten Commandments, given to Moses by God, was brought to Ethiopia and has been preserved in the country for centuries. The belief is that the Ark of the Covenant is in Ethiopia. The legend tells of its journey from Jerusalem to Ethiopia during the time of King Solomon. According to the Ethiopian tradition, Queen Nesheba, also known as Makeda, visited King Solomon in Jerusalem and returned to Ethiopia bearing a son, Menelik. It is believed that Menelik brought the Ark of the Covenant with him, hiding it in Ethiopia, where it has since been remained. The Ark of the Covenant, known as the Tabot in Ethiopian Christianity, is considered the holiest of relics by the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. The Ethiopian Church maintains strong connection to the Ark of the Covenant, and its presence is central to their religious practices and beliefs.
Get back to your best smile during Aspen Dental Summer of Smiles event with 20% off dentures. Book today.
Salvi Shasakin Pritchard has recovered more than $2 billion in catastrophic major clients. Visit www.salvi.com. Africa is a diverse continent. It's a wide range of religious beliefs and practices. The religious landscape of Africa is complex, with a blend of indigenous African religions, Islam, Christianity, and other religions. Indigenous African religion encompass a diverse range of traditional beliefs and practices. These religions often emphasize the worship of ancestors. It is estimated to be around 10 to 20% of the African population. Islam, however, holds approximately 40 to 50% of all of Africans. Christianity, estimated to be 30 to 40% of Africa. In addition, there are several minority religion slivers in Africa. These include Judaism, Hinduism, Sikhism, the Baha'i faith, and other various syncretic religions that blend elements of indigenous beliefs with other religious traditions. The percentage of these people hold about 5% of the whole category. And there you have the incredible journey of humanity, tracing our roots back to the cradle of civilization, Africa, to its discoveries of Lucy, the ancient fossil skeleton unveiled our earliest human ancestors, to the grand civilizations of Egypt that left an indelible mark on the entire world. Africa has been the forefront of our collective story. Not only did Africa give birth to Homo sapiens, but it also nurtured the diverse tapestry of religions that have shaped our spiritual landscapes, from the enchanting Yoruba tradition with the primordial divinities to the mystical practices of the Nubian lion-headed goddess, influencing the powerful deities of Isis Sekhmet. Africa's religious heritage is a testament to its rich cultural fabric. Thank you for joining us on this captivating exploration. From the awe-inspiring pyramids to the enigmatic Sphinx, the Egyptians left a legacy that still reverberates through time. Their wisdom and knowledge permeated the world, influencing art, architecture, and even the development of early science. So, as we reflect on the ancient wonders and the enduring legacy of Africa, let us remember that our own story, our own very existence, is intertwined with its remarkable continent. Africa is the birthplace of humanity and the wellspring of inspiration remember to like, comment, and subscribe to our channel to continue the unraveling of the mysteries, the wonders of our world. Leave a comment on what you think about this video. Until next time, keep seeking gnosis and embracing the remarkable that